We are an organization committed to helping students in particular to become good and contributing citizens to our society, people who are determined to better society and do it from an informed base where they know what civics concerns are and where they're able to problem solve, critically think, and communicate those solutions that they recommend. And at a school like Purdue, you can imagine with its strong STEM base of curricula and the liberal arts behind that, it was a good combination, we thought.
That's great. Tell us about this event that was held in Washington, the co-sponsors, and the reason why that you went all the way from Indiana to Washington, D.C. to hold something like this.
Sure. Well, we do this all the time. Since its inception, first starting as something I called Project Impact back in 2010, we've been taking students to Washington because my feeling was they needed to see where the sausage was being made.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. And so we took classes, all total about 10 classes, to Washington, D.C. And based on my past experience, and you know what that work experience has been, I was able to take them to the White House, Capitol Hill, State Department, New York Times, Washington Post, and it's an eye-opener for them. The students who got the most out of it are the ones who showed up ready and eager to ask questions of these very high-level people at these organizations. And we had many, many lively discussions, our students and projects that the students took on. So can you do that in Indiana? Sure, those people will come here and spend that kind of time with us.
Mm-hmm.
But typically you need to take them there. And I think it is a good thing to see, you know, what is Washington? It's a concept unless you've actually stepped into those hallways and see what the people are like that actually do the work. In almost all cases, the students I had meet with officials discover that those officials and the people running places like the Times and the Post are awfully nice people who want young people to know what they do and how they do it.
That's great. I know this, and we'll talk more in detail about the reasoning all here coming up, but I know this recent visit in Washington was the final one for the Purdue Institute for Civic Communication, and you had an interesting way to kind of close it out with a forum. Tell us how the forum was set up and the topics that were discussed, please.
Well, we opened with a forum back in September 2013, and we wanted to close with a forum. And what we did for this last forum in D.C. was to invite the Washington Post, my old friends from the Post, to be partners with us in discussing the state of civic education. And, you know, it's not a pretty picture right now. A lot of people don't know how government works, what it does for them, what it doesn't do for them, what their place is in all of this. Individuals should know that, you know, you can't put democracy on auto drive. It doesn't work that way. What you do have to do is get involved at the community level, at the local state level, and make yourself somebody who stands for something instead of just standing against something and oftentimes not even realizing why. So the discussion was very lively. I started the forum by saying more people know the names of the Three Stooges than know the three branches of government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Sad to say, I mean, Three Stooges are delightful, but they're not going to run the country, we hope. So it was, we went a little bit over our time. We had scheduled an hour. It's a very dense subject. A lot more needs to be said about it, and more, a lot needs to be done about it. The schools are not doing a great job. Not all their fault, I will hasten to add. With the emphasis on testing in the STEM subjects, mathematics, science, the so-called hard sciences, those things that are conceptual, like what is good government, How do we produce it? How do we elect a good public servant? How do we serve our own country in a way that makes a difference for people? Those concepts get lost. Even what the founders intended can get lost. It's taught in a way that is rote. And you and I went to school at a time when you were taught and tested, but it wasn't so standardized as it is now. How much actually sticks once you pass that test? You study because you know you're going to be asked a question like, when was the Declaration of Independence signed? You study for that. You know it, and then what does that really tell you about government? Mm-hmm. So getting an A on civics right now doesn't mean you understand it. What we have done with the Institute is we take the students to the government so they can see how it is done. We get them involved in projects where they're actually able to do some of the work. We have 20 interns that we've placed across the country, most of them in Washington, who are working in Senate offices. They're working at news media like the New York Times and the Post. And they're finding out close up how it all works and actually helping to do the work.
Now, let me ask, since this is the what's termed as the final event for the Institute, why is the Institute coming to an end?
Well, when we when I put in for the grant that we eventually got from the Daniels Fund in Denver, Colorado, I determined that it should have a finite number of years that we had grant money for, because oftentimes what happens at a university, as I'm sure you know, you yourself having worked at Purdue, you work from an endowment. The problem with an endowment, in my view, as a practitioner, because I am not, I'm not a tenured professor. I'm a practitioner. I work by contract with Purdue. Mm-hmm. And the way it has worked is you take that endowment money and various people may be in charge of the project. I am one of the, minority, I think, in, especially high research institutions like Purdue, who in the humanities, the liberal arts, wants experience for the students, because I do believe very firmly that they learn best and will keep what they learn and will practice what they learn if they actually practice it while they learn. So I believe in what they call applied, experiential, or translational learning.
Do you think that maybe that you had the concept set up there through the Institute for Civic Communication before this this term experiential learning seemed to be a buzzword on the Purdue University system campus?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to go and try to say that others didn't have this notion before, but I was actually able to get money for it mm-hmm. for a project that I envisioned. And so I got the grant. It was a $1 million grant, and we decided we would spread it out over 4 years, and our mission was to design these classes that would give students the best in experiential learning that would help them to do what I've described as, you know, basically good citizens in training. And so so we did that, and the grant ends officially at the end of this month. I will continue to do my work at Purdue until the end of December, and then my contract ends. And it's a fitting time to also leave Purdue. So the project to be sustained would have required a commitment from Purdue to raise the money to sustain it, and that did not happen. As you know, the state of higher education now, there are a lot of different priorities, this unfortunately was not one of those priorities.
Do you think, though, that there may be within the months that you have left working for Purdue University between now and the end of the calendar year that there may be, there'll be some push at least to see if some funds can be found someplace, maybe, again, another grant from another organization to be able to keep the center, keep the facility going and keep the center focus on civic education?
I'm never one to say never. But I would say unlikely. For a lot of reasons, who would run it? I am leaving Purdue. Mm-hmm. Would they have the practitioner chops? It's not that I'm so darn special, except to my mom and dad, of course. But I did have this great fortune of having wildly wonderful work experiences in places that are hard to enter. The New York Times, The Washington Post, ABC News, Nightline, and media. White House experience as speechwriter to President Clinton and then as a U.S. ambassador. All of those things brought me to the point where I very much felt I'm prepared to step aside. My feeling with the White House was, I've done it. I'm so grateful I was able to do this. I should step aside and let others do it. If you spend much time in Washington, Chris, there are a lot of people who will not let go. Mm-hmm. They want to stay there in official capacity for as long as they possibly can. But I do believe in fresh blood, new blood coming in and revitalizing. So who would run it? They could possibly get somebody who has experience that they would consider pertinent. But the biggest deal really is getting funded. And if you look at how Purdue has traditionally pursued grants, it has been for research, for tenured faculty, tenurable and tenured faculty. Their research typically ends up in a journal somewhere. Some of it, thank goodness, ends up in practice. But by and large, it's not applied in real world settings. And my experience in my nearly a decade now in higher ed has been that the undergraduates get the least benefit of all from the grants that come in that provide these research dollars. So my research was basically on how to create a better citizen and applying that money to do everything we could to help create these better citizens and contributors. So will somebody have a eureka moment and think, you know, well, we should continue doing this? I will tell you that I did push for sustainable funding while I was there. But as I said, there were other priorities, and it just did not happen. Mm-hmm. And as I think I mentioned, I spoke with the Times of North Coast Indiana a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, it's the kind of thing where the leadership in place at the time was magical for me. A gentleman named Randy Whitson, who is now the chancellor at the at North Carolina State University, believed very much in practice, and he was instrumental in bringing me to Purdue in the first place as first chief of staff and then faculty. And then Tim Sands, who is now the president of Virginia Tech University, was provost after Randy. And both of those gentlemen, with all of their core, believed in applied learning, and they believed in this project because it does, frankly, put Purdue people in very influential places eventually. If they go to Washington, they do well in their internships, they stay there, they contribute there, or better, they go back home and they contribute in their homes and, you know, their hometowns in Indiana and elsewhere. So we have both.